Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sing to the Lord, the podcast that breaks down how the Lutheran hymnody is preaching the gospel. I'm your host, Mason Van Essen. What you're hearing is the hymn, O Blessed Spring. Welcome back to Sing to the Lord. It's the fifth Sunday of Easter, and Zachary Brockhoff and Lars Olsen are ushering in spring with the hymn, O Blessed Spring. Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, it's good to be here with you, Mason. Yeah, so it is, like you said, the fifth Sunday of Easter, and we're getting tired of all this resurrection by this time in the season, but Jesus just won't let us grow away from him. And so the church in the lectionary wisdom has chosen John 15, where Jesus says, "Now I am the vine, you are the branches, and connected to me, you bear this kind of fruit." So, O Blessed Spring, this hymn seems to be a good one, but it is a baptismal hymn, Zachary, so why would we want to sing this week?
Well, I was sick of the Easter section of the hymnal too, so we'll run off somewhere else and do something a little bit different. There are, and we'll talk about them later, hymns in the Easter section that pick up this scripture in particular, but this baptismal hymn grows out of not only this weekend's text, but obviously relates it to the promise we have not just in the Easter season, but throughout all of life. And specifically, stanza one speaks in this way. It says, "We are embraced into Christ the vine through this blessed spring, that is baptism, and joined to be a branch of the life-giving tree of Christ." It's poetic throughout, but it was born out of this sort of thing. At Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Minneapolis, there is, as you would suspect, a baptismal font. And in addition to that, there's a sculpture over above this font, I believe on the wall, that is titled Life Tree. It's been there for a number of years. And Susan Sherwin, who wrote the text, was inspired by the sculpture and its place in the space itself by the baptismal font to write this. And when you look at the sculpture, you can Google this relatively easily. It is exactly what you would expect, this tree, which is Christ, and these branches that come off of it, and that being a picture, at least, that we take and then write new language. So it really is linked to all sorts of things and a beautiful way to talk about this weekend's scripture.
Yeah, it does. If you read through the hymn, it kind of talks about all the different stages of life and connects to the scripture where Jesus is saying, you are connected to me, mm-hmm. right? In all things, right?
Yeah.
And that's actually what the promise of baptism is, that you can't actually get out of it, right? So, you can't just cut yourself off from him. He keeps growing and finding you. This is what a vine does. It wraps itself around you and won't let you go, right?
Yep.
But in the second stanza, it really kind of puts this out because, as you're describing it, a poem and a sculpture are all beautiful and wonderful. But the second stanza here talks about our rebelliousness and puts that in tension. Is that what we mean also in this promise?
I think so. As much as no matter what we do, the vine is going to come after us, as you say. The second stanza seems to hold those two things in tension: rebellious years and tears with faith. But I also think that's some of what's going on in the gospel reading as well, where it says the the vine dresser or the father's going to prune. Mm-hmm. It's also a lovely picture, Christ vine and we the branches and nothing will ever let us go. But there's an edge to this text also that the hymn doesn't ignore. Yep. And I think that's good. So as we're pruned to bear more fruit, which also can sound like God comes along, does a little bit of work on you, and then you can go out and be a little bit better than you were before and come back and get your oil changed every once in a while kind of thing, go into the shop and God will – I mean, I like the outdoors as much as the next organist, so I don't know anything about plants. I don't know anything about cars either for that matter, but I'm going that direction. In any case
do all organists mix metaphors so well in a podcast?
Well, I don't know. You have to invite some others on and just see. There are many easy metaphors to mix when you're talking about Absolutely. The organ, but we're not going to do that. So anyway, the point is not only that we're pruned to bear more fruit in this way, but the hymn tells us then the bearing of that fruit is that Christ actually comes and acts on our behalf. We are sustained by that vine grower, and the hymn says, shout for joy at the good news he brings. So it's Christ who does all of these things. Let's see how that works itself out. Sustained by Christ's infusing rain. It's Christ who's doing all the work. And we are, as the hymn says, well, uncertain and rebellious, and yet in the midst of that, here is Christ. So...
And then it takes up in the third stanza, kind of, you know, after this summer heat and youthful kind of the power that you have in the youth to be rebellious. Mm-hmm. It takes up the next part when your youthfulness ends or you've been pruned back.
Sure.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
You know, it talks about this heavy harvest that now can be held.
Yeah. The stanzas, especially 2, 3, 4, are trying to walk through stages of life. So youth, heavy harvest, and finally death. This heavy harvest business, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. And we were having conversation before we started recording this podcast about what some of those things might be. The burdens of, at least as I would put it in my mind for another person, responsibility, work, family, friends, irritating but necessary relationships, our own needs that we're trying to sort through and figure out, as well as the needs of others. These weigh heavily on us, or can. And there's good news even there. It says we are held in Christ. And joined to this vine, he's going to bring us gifts of beauty, wisdom, and love. Well, if you don't think you need wisdom and love in dealing with difficult situations, then just wait a week, and you'll see what the gift is in being able to say, even these heavy things in my life, Christ holds those, and the people that I can't stand, Christ died for and has also embraced into this vine.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, this whole idea of fruit is a metaphor. It's an image that comes throughout the Old and New Testament, right? What it means to bear good fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And from Jesus talking about a good tree bearing good fruit, the bad tree gets cut down and the good one takes its place in order to bear this, to Paul talking about the fruit of the Spirit, right? What it means to have Christ's promise and then to not to build on your own works, but to bear the fruit of this, right? The mm-hmm. spiritual, the works of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, sure. kindness, all these things. And I love the way you're talking about this heavy harvest, right? It's like this tree has all these things to bear because you finally can see all the needs of the people around you. Because one of the hard things is, you know, we think of patience as something we cultivate. That's even a kind of a fruity word, right?
Yeah.
A gardening word, right? We cultivate our humility or something like this, rather than it's something that the Spirit grows in us so that with an abundant harvest in order to give to those around us. So to our children who need our patience, or to our neighbors who need our assistance, to our parents who need our love that they gave to us, they need it back from us now, something like this, right?
Yeah.
So that everything that being connected to the vine that this is talking about in a very poetic way is finally the fruit of the Spirit is to be given to those that you need. And the harvest in Christ is absolutely plentiful for people. Well, that's a lot to take in a poetic hymn, I suppose.
Yeah,
are there any other hymns that you could suggest for this weekend on John 15?
Sure. Yeah, for sure. One is in the Easter section. Well, I'll give you a couple in the Easter section. Alleluia, Jesus is Risen, which is a slightly newer hymn with a text by Herb Brokering, who wrote also Earth and All Stars, or Earth and the All Stars, if you're in the mood for being a little bit funny.
It's opening day or something.
That's right. And or just frankly, it's sort of even works with the text of that hymn. But any case, it's set to the same tune, but it's a different text by Brokering, and it's Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. And you just get a slice of this John 15 text there, but it's surrounded by all these images of Easter. So it puts it very much in the context of the resurrection. The other one that is an Easter hymn that might be of interest is Now the Green Blade Rises, for some obvious reasons. And depending on the sermon that you might write and some of the language you're using, that could be helpful. Finally, here's another one that's not an Easter hymn. It's, again, in the baptism section. We know that Christ is raised, which doesn't actually speak of vine and branches and necessarily exactly John 15, but it does talk about us being joined to Christ in baptism. We share by water in his saving death. Reborn with him, we share an Easter life. So it does pick up some of these things, but probably leans more strongly toward Paul's language there. But it's another option and something that in some hymnals is listed as an Easter hymn, and in other cases is baptism. So those are all wonderful options for the weekend. And of course, the text itself, the scripture reading, provides a lot of possibilities. So have fun.
Thanks for joining us this week on Sing to the Lord. Check the show notes for Zachary's stanza-by-stanza commentary, as well as a list of other hymns we recommend. See you next week.